Attention listeners, AfterSight's annual hike is coming up on July 27th.
It was a really good experience for me.
Visit aftersight.org/hike and become an audio trekker today.
That hike today gave me so much courage.
Welcome to Blind Level Tech. I'm Jonathan Price.
I'm Evan Starnes.
And together, we're bringing you news, tech, and information about blind technologies.
Being blind doesn't mean you have to stop living.
We're going to show you just how possible it is to live the life you want.
Well, 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 we are back again, and man, oh man, it has been a weekend. Let's just say that. We've had a crazy winter storm. I might as well consider this like the grand finale of winter storms. And then, of course, you know, we had St. Patrick's Day weekend, and I'm sure plenty of people celebrated and, did what you do when you celebrate. Very much beating around the bush here, but yeah. Anyway, welcome to Blind Level Tech. I am your host, Evan Starnes, joined by Jonathan Price. And yeah, Jonathan, how was your weekend? How'd you hold up with this this winter storm? And what did you do during St. Patrick's Day?
Well, this weekend was awesome. Actually, on that snow day, my kids were out of school for Thursday. And it was pretty awesome. We built this really big kind of snow fort around our fire pit. And had this big fire pit or fire in the snow pit. And that was awesome. It was so much fun.
That's great.
Well, no, it didn't melt. We just like built up the walls really tall, probably 5-6 feet, and just kind of surrounded the fire pit. And so it was like this big glowing orange orb looking thing in the middle of. Yeah, it was awesome. It was so cool. And then we built a snow bench so that we could sit on it inside the snow shelter around the fort. It was pretty awesome. But then my daughter and I had a date weekend, and which I don't usually get to do. And it was fun because I took her to go see the Cirque du Soleil on Ice, which it was absolutely phenomenal. And man, those are some talented people. Yeah, and it was really cool. I've never been to a Cirque du Soleil show. And so this was my first, official Cirque du Soleil kind of event. And we went shopping, got her a new dress and did the hair and the nails and makeup and got her all sorts of dolled up and got dressed up and went out Sunday. And yeah, it was just awesome. What about you?
Man, can you imagine how cool an audio described Cirque du Soleil would be? I think that would be killer.
Don't even know.
No,
that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And they probably have audio described versions of it, which would be super interesting. But
I'm sure they.
Yeah, it was a fun. It was a fun weekend.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, this weekend Friday night I partied because it's been a long, busy week, and I just use Fridays as my excuse to be stupid and get sloshed, as you say. I love sloshed, by the way. It's one of my new favorite words to describe. I don't know. It's funny. I'm like, but yeah, then
there you go.
This weekend I went to my family's and haven't done that in a while. I kind of figured I'd get out of the old apartment and, go spend time with them. And they made corned beef and cabbage. And then I had more drinks. Oh. Yay drinks. So, nice. And it's,
I cannot do corned beef and cabbage. I just like, I don't like it.
I don't blame you. It's honestly, it's not my favorite either. Mainly cabbage. I don't like cabbage. It's,
yeah,
it's like eating veggie farts. I don't know how else to describe it, but grody. Ugh. You know, and man, this week it's back up to 50.
I was not.
You weren't ready for that.
I was
were
not
you?
Ready for that. No, I wasn't.
You never know what happens here. So yeah, as you guys can tell, we are kind of switching things up a little bit here on BLT. And yeah, if you like, or if you have any questions or comments or feedback for us about what we're doing here, we welcome and encourage it strongly. So you can always email feedback@aftersight.org or give us a call at 720-712-8856. In fact, we'd actually like to hear what you guys did for St. Patrick's Day. It'd be kind of fun. So if you want, yeah, give call in and, you know, tell us one of your favorite things you did or what one of your favorite things to do on St. Patrick's Day is, you know, and hey, maybe we'll kind of make it, we'll play those or talk about those, but, you know, it'll be fun. So anyway, today we are going to talk about a wonderful little device that has been around for quite a few years. I think it came out, I want to say in 2020 or late 2019. And it is honestly a device, if you are a Braille reader and writer, that I, if you haven't heard of this device somehow, I would highly recommend it to you. And it is called the Orbit Writer. So the Orbit Writer essentially is, well, I'm sure everybody is familiar with your typical Bluetooth keyboard, you know, nothing super fancy, just a QWERTY keyboard with an on-off switch. You pair it up with your phone. You know, some keyboards let you do, you know, connect to multiple devices. Some keyboards fold in half. In fact, we actually did an episode on Bluetooth keyboards too. So if you're curious, go give it a listen. But this thing is special because it is a Braille keyboard. It is thinner than, at least thinner than an iPhone, thinner than my iPhone 13 Pro even. And you can put it on a lanyard. And I don't know if you can do multiple devices, but it is obviously, since it's a Braille device, it's 100% accessible. And yeah, it's just a sweet little device. So, yeah, I guess, Jonathan, can you share with us a little bit about kind of some of the specs of this thing here?
Yeah, so like you said, it's pretty small. It does fit in like your pockets or purse. So it's pretty lightweight. My only gripe would be that you're carrying around another device to use a device that's accessible already. So that's my only like knock on it right from the beginning. However, you do have different navigation keys. You can control your smartphone, your computer with different kind of key combinations. It does work with iOS, Android, Windows, Mac OS, Fire OS, Chrome OS, and Linux devices. So it quite literally works with
everything,
just about everything
mainstream.
Because it's Bluetooth. So if you have any sort of Bluetooth display or Bluetooth attachment, that it, I mean, it'll just work. So you there's no software to install. It does have a fast battery charging, about 3 days roughly of operation. You can charge it from dead to full in about 2 hours. Good haptic feedbacks, feedback for different actions and settings. And do you want to go through a physical description of it, or do you want me to give that?
Well, yeah, actually, I think a physical description would be awesome. Unfortunately, I don't have one on hand that I can demonstrate. Jonathan, you pretty much nailed it with the specs there. Yeah, this pretty much, let's just think of this as a keyboard because it's literally what it is. But it is very, like, very small, very light. So I mean, you will be, yes, carrying around another device, but you're not necessarily going to realize that you're carrying it. I mean,
right.
It's, I don't know what to compare it to weight wise, but you know, and yes, it does. It works with everything, because it's a keyboard. So you don't have to really have any fancy Braille protocols like you do with Braille displays. And it does have it's a very nice, simple layout. You have your 8-dot Braille keyboard. So that's your 6 Braille dots, space bar, enter and backspace. But you also have a little, like a D-pad, I guess, you know, up, down, left, right, and okay, which is also used to control the device, turn it on and off. But you can use that little arrow pad to kind of navigate around. You can use it with VoiceOver, and the rotor, which is really nice. And, you know, it's a nice, easy learning curve. You know, if you've never really used a Braille keyboard before, as an input device, it's super easy to kind of get in the swing with. So, and then yes, it does have vibratory feedback. So you turn the thing on and it'll vibrate. I think you can even get a battery reading from 1 to 4, kind of like the accessible power bank. And, you know, it'll vibrate when it's connected to devices. And yeah, I mean, other than that, you can hook it from a lanyard and you can, you know, control any screen reader, but it's really all just eventually, once you've got it connected, it's pretty much down to how you want to use the device, what you want to use it for, and what kind of gestures you want to set up with it. So, you know.
Yeah. And so I want to give a really quick layout description just for people who, because there's quite a few different layouts for different Braille devices.
Yeah.
So this particular one is 6 inches wide by about 2.5 inches deep. So if you're sitting it on a flat, so just think of your phone in landscape mode. And then across the top on the left-hand side, there are 3 physical buttons. And then on the top right, there are 3 physical buttons that are about the width of your finger pads, like your actual fingers. And then right in the very middle is that D kind of jog wheel control where you have the up, down, left, right. And then in the middle, there's another button for enter. Yep. Directly below that is the space bar. And then to the left of that is the back button. To the right of that is the forward button. So that just kind of gives you a good layout of how this thing works or the physical dimensions. So
yeah,
it's kind of cool.
And price wise too, this is, you know, since you've basically taken the whole Braille display element out of this product, price wise, you're looking about around $100. So
yep.
Anyway, This device is incredibly handy, and I would highly recommend it. And it is also useful for, well, you can use it for literally anything. In fact, it's super nice to, I've done this with Braille displays. You know, if your phone's dead, but you still want to, you know, watch YouTube or listen to music, you know, and you got Bluetooth headphones, throw your Bluetooth headphones on, plug your phone in, and then just carry this little thing around, and you've got full control over your phone if you're a voiceover user, and, you know, whatever, you know, the possibilities are pretty much limitless. And of course, that means you can also use it to order different kinds of food. Now, this device, while useful, there are some alternatives to if you don't want a physical device to carry around, or if you want something built in. So there you've got also, besides the Orbit Writer, you've got things like Braille screen input and or the TalkBack Braille keyboard, or, you know, even, you know, if you've got it, your other Braille displays, you know, whether it be your Orbit Writers, your Braille Sense, your Braille Note Touches, you know, you've got those. So
yeah.
The nice thing about this device is it's a physical keyboard. So if you like that physical feedback of, you know, pushing keys down and, you know, the key travel that comes with it, as well as the arrow keys that make it just, you know, if you've been a lifelong computer user and, you know, touchscreens just are not your forte, this could really make your use of a smartphone a lot more fluid for you. But yeah, like I said, Braille screen input and the TalkBack keyboard also do allow you to input on your device using Braille. And they are pretty much, they're both quite similar to each other, except that they're really only used, well, when you're typing. So the cool thing with Braille screen input is when you have it, you basically activate it in the rotor. So if you're familiar with the voiceover rotor, you kind of spin your fingers around like a knob, you kind of spin over until you hear Braille screen input. And then you have a couple of different modes. You have a tabletop mode and a screen away mode. So you can actually that is kind of a thing it does have over the Orbit Writers. You can use it. And the TalkBack keyboard does this as well. You can use these virtual Braille keyboards in different configurations or layouts, I guess.
And
what's cool is when Braille screen input is on and you're in the home screen, you can actually type the first letter of an app and it'll actually, you know, try and suggest what app it thinks you want to open. And it makes it super easy to, you know, do stuff like that. But of course, then, you know, you do miss out on your tactile feedback, kit. And unfortunately, I wish they would add this. There isn't any like haptic feedback that you get from the phone when you're typing with BSI. That would actually be really cool.
Right.
And at least with Braille screen input, you don't really have to do this with a TalkBack keyboard, but with Braille screen input, you might need to calibrate it every so often, because what it does is it will try and kind of map out the placement of your fingers on the screen, you know, so that you can type in Braille, you know, quickly and accurately. So, but obviously to the very obvious advantages and disadvantages is pricing. You know, Braille screen input or BSI and the TalkBack Braille keyboard are free and come bundled with your screen readers, VoiceOver, and TalkBack. This device, you know, it's $100, but it's I always think it's totally a worthwhile investment. So
yeah,
but it's been around for a few years, quite popular. I see a lot of my friends use it. I wish I was one of those. I'm unfortunately one of those, and it's really slow. I'm one of those, either I dictate everything all the time or I do touch typing, kind of, or it's called direct touch typing. It's essentially where you have your on-screen QWERTY keyboard, you kind of drag your finger around to each letter, lift your finger up to type it. It works well enough, and some people can get really quick at it, but with Braille screen input, though, I mean, as fast as you can type Braille is as fast as you can type on your phone, so...
I saw one a couple of days ago and I was trying to find it for this episode, but it's kind of like the Orbit, but instead of having the keys on the front face, it's kind of shaped like a remote control, like for a video game, but it's on the back. And so it's a very ergonomic and handheld. So when you're holding like a video game controller, like a PS2
PS5
or PS2, yeah, like any style. Sort of thing that, yeah, it's very old style ergonomic keyboard. The touch pads are on the back and they're physical buttons. And so you have three on the left and three on the right, but the front, back, and space bar are on the front of the device. And so you're using it just like you would a game controller. It's super interesting. And so I'm going to try to keep finding that and hopefully I can send that out.
Yeah, because it'd be definitely a fun device to cover. Really, ultimately, what it sounds like is an Orbit Writer that's been oriented to screen away mode, which...
Oh, yeah, kind of, yes.
Because, yeah, screen away mode with Braille screen input is very much like that. You have your dots 1, 2, 3 on one side, 4, 5, 6 on the other. And then the other difference, and I completely spaced on mentioning this, with Braille screen input versus the Orbit Writer, is actually you don't have a space bar. You swipe right and left, go space and backspace. So that's kind of one other key difference I completely spaced out on. So, but one thing I definitely am not spacing out on, mainly because my stomach is making the rumblies, is some good food. And it's not quite time for lunch, not even close, but it's going to be on my mind. So I believe we have reached one of our most well-known and favorite sections. Sandwich of the week. So yeah, Jonathan, I'm going to have you go first this time and put you right on the spot. But what is your sandwich of the week this week?
So I did this one several months ago, but because it was so cold outside and because I just didn't feel like cooking, I went with the classic Sloppy Joe.
Yum.
And we did Sloppy Joes and we did chili and it was just fantastic. And so it's hard to go bad with the Sloppy Joe.
No, 100%. Well, I feel like mine's a lot more of a traditional kind of sandwich, but I'm also feeling simple. And honestly, like even after they're gone, cold temperatures just kind of bring my motivation level totally down.
Oh,
I don't know. I don't know how they do it, but I'm just going to go with a simple, I've got some roast beef and I've got some really good, I think it's Colby Jack, actually, one of my favorite kinds, nice. And mustard. So it's just going to be, for me today, a roast beef, Colby Jack and mustard. Basic little sandwich, you know, kind of like what I grew up eating.
Very good.
Still really good.
Very simple. Simple, classic, elegant.
You know, yeah. You know what they say, simple is always better often. No.
That's right.
Not always the case, but in most cases.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. For sure. Jonathan, do you have anything else to add about the Orbit Writer, BSI, the TalkBack Braille keyboard, or anything else that we've covered today?
Yeah, if you guys have any suggestions or products that you want us to cover or would like some more information about a product, let us know. You can email us at feedback@aftersight.org or call us the 720-712-8856 number. But then it's whatever fits in your hand and feels the most appropriate to you, get that. Don't necessarily get something because we necessarily recommend it or because we like it or because we don't like it. We have our opinions, and our opinions are our own, and your opinion is going to differ from ours. And we appreciate that. We want there to be a differing of opinions because your functionality is not going to be the same as ours. Nope. And so if you have a Braille display or if you have a technology or a software that you really like, we want to share that because you might like something that we don't like, but it may be something that somebody else loves.
That they've never heard.
And so we want to make sure. Yeah, we want to make sure we get those products out to the world. I also did want to mention that we are going to be launching a brand new show at the end of May, maybe the beginning of June, depending on timing, but it's called Game Changers. And this is going to be a fantastic podcast dedicated to blind sports only, which is going to be awesome because we don't have in our industry or in our community a podcast that is dedicated to blind sports. We have Accessible Sports that actually talks about some, like there are some episodes that have blind, you know, things in it. But when we were researching all of this, I mean, there are blind athletes all over the world. Yep. I mean, the Olympics, the both summer and winter, there's extreme sports, camping, hunting, fishing, cycling, anything outdoors, anything indoors. And there's so many amazing adaptive technologies specifically for the blind community, and we wanted to cover that. And so that's going to be coming in May. So if you have a guest, and we're also looking for a co-host for that show, I'm going to be moving away from this show. I'll still be producing it for the most part, but then I'm going to be hosting and doing the Game Changers podcast. So that's going to be super awesome. So look for that at the end of May.
Indeed. And if you, I guess one thing just kind of to wrap this whole keyboard episode up, I guess, is, you know, if you are a Braille lover, if you eat, sleep, drink, you know, Braille, whatever, I'd seriously, if you haven't looked at that Orbit Writer device, go give it a check out because you're totally missing out. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much a wrap for this episode. So anyway, thank you guys again, as always, so much for listening, commenting, subscribing to Blind Level Tech. I am your host, Evan Starnes, joined by Jonathan Price. And yeah, for Evan Starnes and the whole rest of the AfterSight family, don't forget to plug in your devices.